I am one of Joanne's, and for the next few moments we'll be discussing the subject, Thou Hast Destroyed Thyself. God once said to His people, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Hosea 13 and verse 9. The man who throws himself away seldom likes where he lands, and Israel had thrown herself away, but certainly didn't like where she had landed. So many today have done likewise, but they haven't realized what the trouble is. Man, many times, is his own worst enemy. Many of our shadows are caused by standing in our own sunshine. We dig our own pitfalls and determine our own downfalls. We make our own beds hard to lie on, or make our own consciences hard to live with. We shape our own destinies, and we choose our own memories. We are the ones who balance or unbalance the scales in the final analysis. It is not what in life might come to us, but what in life we might become, and how in life we might overcome, that will decide our life's outcome. In a sense, we hold in our hands our own future. When looking for someone to blame for your downfall, don't turn your head when you pass the mirror. It was Israel who was to blame for her failures. God said, For thou hast fallen by thine own iniquity. Hosea 14 and verse 1. But of them, he said, they consider not in their heart that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. Hosea 7 and verse 2. Israel had cast off the thing that is good, and the enemy shall pursue him. Hosea 8 and verse 3. If a man could only see that it is he himself who gets in his own way, God said of some, For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8 and verse 7. Who have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity. Hosea 10 and verse 13. Man will reap what he sows, according to Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Proverbs 6, verses 27 and 28. We are the ones who enslave ourselves. Romans 6, 17 and 18. We are the ones who give place to the devil in our lives. Ephesians 4 and verse 27. We are the ones who destroy ourselves. As we think about this, we realize that our sins can and will destroy us if they're not forgiven. God has said, He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Proverbs 8 and verse 36. He also said that the man who committeth adultery lacks understanding, for in so doing he destroys his own soul. Proverbs 6 and verse 32. We, through our sins, separate ourselves from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Proverbs 13 and verse 15. We, through our own transgressions, make our way hard. Sin will destroy us, but we don't have to commit and consent to sin when we are tempted. Proverbs 1 and verse 10. The Lord said, There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. When God told Israel that she had destroyed herself, He said, But in me is thine help. We don't have to let sin destroy our lives. If we will but turn to the Lord and lean heavily upon the Lord, in Him we can find the solution to our problems. We can find the help that we need in resisting evil. But it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2 and verse 13. When man refuses God's help and tries to go it alone, sin will be his downfall. Thus God has warned, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Then the Lord went on to say, cast away from you all your transgressions, thereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Why would a man die in his iniquities when he could turn to the Lord and find life everlasting? Yet the Lord said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. And Matthew 24 and verse 12. This is what happened to Judas Iscariot. While iniquity abounded, his love for the Lord grew cold. He betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, but he not only sold his Lord, he sold himself as well. Iniquity was his ruin. He destroyed himself. After he died, the Bible says that he went to his own place. Acts 1 and verse 25. Who determined that place? It wasn't the Lord, but it was Judas who determined it. When did he determine that place? After death. It was while he was on earth that he determined the place that he would occupy in eternity. Certainly it wasn't after his death, because in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, he says, whatsoever thy hand findest to do it with thy might. For there's no work, no knowledge, no device, no wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So you can't change it there. In like manner, when death comes, every man will go to his own place. Nobody will be out of place. God is keeping a record of the way each one lives. And by the way we live, we are determining the place where we will occupy throughout all eternity. Let us not so live that sin will destroy us. Our attitude can destroy us. You know, man's attitude will determine his altitude, as some have said. We never rise any higher than our thoughts. I've heard people say, a penny for your thoughts. But, beloved, your thoughts are worth more than a penny. It would be better to say eternity for your thoughts. For the way you spend eternity will depend upon the thoughts you have in this life. In Proverbs 23:7, he says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Man's position in life will be determined by his disposition. Our attitudes can certainly destroy us. We are happy, we're miserable, optimistic, pessimistic, kind or unkind, forgiving or unforgiving, harbor malice or display mercy, all depending upon the attitude we have in life. The attitude of resentment, bitterness, hate, retaliation, envy can certainly destroy any individual. Our words can destroy us, and this is an area that most people take too lightly. But here's a passage that somewhat frightens me. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:36 and 37. These are the words of our Lord. He is here telling us that God is keeping a record of every word that we utter on earth, and that someday we will have to give account for them. Notice this statement of the Lord. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words make a difference then, don't they? Then listen to the words of Solomon. Seest thou, O man, that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than in him. In Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Oh, how careful we ought to be in the words we speak. In everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 7 is the list. For that reason, the Lord says that we ought to study to be quiet. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. Anger is an acid that will do more damage to the vessel in which it is stored than anything on which it is poured. Someone has called our attention to the fact that anger is the only one letter short of danger. Therefore the Lord said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Our temper can certainly destroy us. He that hath no ruler over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. That being the case, then let us heed this admonition of the Lord. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. Our pride can destroy us also. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, verse 18. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 15, and verse 25. A man's pride shall bring him low. Proverbs 29, verse 23. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. James 4, verse 6. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23 and verse 12. From all these passages, we learn that a man's pride can certainly destroy him. Our prejudice can destroy us. Jesus said about a certain people, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In Matthew 13 and verse 15, prejudice blinds a man to many great truths. It often keeps one from believing and receiving the instruction he needs, the instruction that can come from the Word of God. Prejudice blinds a man to many great truths, and it often keeps him from believing that which he needs to believe in order to be forgiven and to be saved. As someone said, man's steps are often shortened by the short skirts of prejudice. And how true. Paul said that the minds of some were blinded. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, prejudice will do this. And when one makes up his mind and will not listen to any further instruction, his prejudice will destroy him. Ignorance is one of the things which will destroy many, many people. God once declared that his people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Ignorance is the archenemy of Christianity. If Satan can keep us away from the knowledge of God, he can keep us away from God. It is through hearing and learning of the Lord that we are drawn to him. John 6, verse 44. And also verse 45, Jesus said that some had taken away the key of knowledge. In Luke 11, verse 52, knowledge is the key that unlocks the door to God. Without that key, this door would never be unlocked. The Bible tells us that at the day of judgment, vengeance will be meted out to them that knew not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 and 8. God will not excuse our ignorance. We must eagerly study the Bible to show ourselves approved to God as workmen that needed not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Only through a knowledge of God's word can no one know how to please God. Think of the people today who are unacquainted with God. Think of those who are so far away from the Almighty because they don't know any better. Ignorance, therefore, can certainly destroy us. There isn't any excuse for our being ignorant of the Almighty or what He demands of us, for He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Through the instructions He has given us, we can know exactly what we must do in order to be acceptable to Him. Then we find a lot of people are insincere in a lot of things in their life, but it can be deceptive and it can be a disaster for one to be insincere in his relationship to God. The word hypocrisy is used many times, and it was used many times by Jesus. But hypocrisy has been the downfall of many. The absence of true integrity will ultimately bring great defeat. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were hypocritical in their worship and their service to God. They honored the Lord with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. Matthew 15 and 8. Jesus pronounced that their worship was vain. Some were more interested in the praise of men than they were in the praise of God, according to Matthew 6, 1 and 2. And Jesus said that they already had their reward. Beloved, our love must be without hypocrisy. Romans 12 and verse 9. We must serve the Lord in all sincerity. Philippians 1 and verse 10. The root meaning of this word, sincere, is to be sun-tested. The ancients had a very fine porcelain that was highly valued and brought great price, so fragile that only with greatest difficulty could it be fired without being cracked, that is, curing it. Dishonest dealers would often fill the cracks that would appear with a pearly white wax that looks enough like the porcelain so that it would not be readily detected in the shops. But when the porcelain was held up to the sun, the wax that filled the cracks would appear as a dark seam. Honest Latin dealers would mark their wares with sincera, meaning without wax. Thus the Apostle Paul would have us tested by the sunlight of God's truth and holiness and be found without wax. Anything that smacks of a sham or a pretense is as the wax used to camouflage imperfections in the porcelain. And such insincerity will destroy us and our chances of reaching heaven. Indifference to what the Lord has said will certainly destroy us. And Christ had a great deal to say about this as well. Our actions and reactions concerning the Word of God will be the determining factor as to whether or not we are saved eternally. Jesus said, "For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins," in John 8 and verse 24. He also said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, 3. Then again he declared, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation," Romans 10 and verse 10. We must also not forget what he said concerning the new birth. "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God," John 3 and verse 5. "Marvel not said unto you, you must be born again, in John 3 and verse 7. But how is a man born again? Is he born again when he believes that Jesus is the Christ? Is he born again when he repents of his sins? Is he born again when he confesses Jesus before men and is buried and raised with his Lord in baptism? In baptism, the old man is crucified with Christ. The body of sin is destroyed, and he is raised to walk in a new life. Romans 6, 4 through 6. What is your action and reaction toward all these things the Lord has said? Indifference to these things will destroy you. How will you react to the Lord's statement that today is the day of salvation? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. The Lord urges us to obey the gospel immediately in Romans 13, verses 11 and 12. And we dare not be indifferent toward these great truths of the Lord. Man destroys himself. Will you destroy yourself? In light of all that has been said in our study today, will you find in the Lord that help that He has promised you? Will you today come to Christ, become a follower of Christ, overcome through Christ, and look forward to a glorious outcome in eternity? We certainly hope and pray that you will. I am Vernon Joines, and we thank you for listening to our broadcast.